Number 8, and I wish here what God has for us today. And I pray that God will bring us not only deliverance, but give us joy as well in our hearts and our souls. Amen. Let's all stand. I want you to get there. That's the book of Acts, chapter number 8. And I'll read verse 5 through number 9. And that will be our text. The Bible says in the gospel of Acts, chapter number 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached there, or preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. The Bible says a man named Simon, sorcery, bewitched. I want to talk this morning, this little thought, breaking the spell. Father, I pray for your help this morning. But I pray, God, that whomever might be under a spell this morning, I pray, God, that the power of your Holy Spirit will come by and break the spell. Break, God, that which has consumed. Break that, God, which has held on to and has held or hold that person so tight that they can't get free. I pray, God, today you'd break the spell. I pray, God, you'd bring joy and deliverance. I pray that God, the power of your spirit would seep through their pores into their life. And I pray, God, we leave here rejoicing because of freedom. God, help somebody. I beg in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, help me as your servant to write and divide the word of truth. Father God, my speech. Help me to preach your word with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I beg you, Master, please, sir. And I pray, God, there be nothing between you and I that will hinder you from using my vessel. And I pray, God, that each of us will get some help from the Master, meaning you. That's it, Lord. Help us. Of course, in Christ's name we pray. Fill the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we do pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Breaking the spell. The Bible says in verse number 8 or verse number 9 that Simon had bewitched the people. The word bewitched means to not only to astound or to wonder, but it means also, my dear friends, to put to wits in or to cause to be insane. When a person is insane, they're not in their right mind. When a person, my friends, is bewitched, that means that they are under the influence or the spell of another. The synonyms for the word are to attract, to capture, control, enchant, fascinate, hypnotize, put under a magic spell. And these people were under a spell. They had been bewitched by a man by the name of Simon. And my friends, many of us have been bewitched, or many of us have been controlled by something or someone that's not helping us, but that's hurting us. And we need somebody to come by and to break the spell. We need somebody to come by, my friends, and call the chains to be unloosed. Last week, there at the revival, during the altar call on this side, a lady came forward who's probably about 34, 35 years old. She was just weeping and crying. They all gathered around to pray with her. And she left rejoicing after they told me what the situation was. Here was a woman who was a mother and had 3 children. All 3 of her children had been taken away from her that day or the day before that. And it was because, my friends, she had met a man. And this man, my friends, had introduced her to crack cocaine. And for 2 years, it gripped her life. But the year before those 2 years, she didn't even know how to spell. And she had no idea what crack was. She didn't know drugs, didn't know alcohol, none of that stuff. But she met this man
who introduced them to this crap. And now, for just 2 years, a woman that had her home together, her family together, now had her home ripped apart, torn apart. Because she's under a spell. Drugs are a spell. They capture alcohol, spell. A lot of these other things cast us under a spell. They bewitch us. Remember that word here, bewitched, means to attract. It means to capture, control, enchant, fascinate, hypnotize, put under a magic spell. I wonder how many of us have been captured. How many of us have had our minds overwhelmed by something that's hindering us from going forward? I was talking about that, and it reminded me of when we was on that cruise a couple of years ago. And while we were there in the auditorium, they had a guy that was hypnotizing people. And he had everybody to stand up. Everybody was sitting down first, I believe. And then he went through this series of things. Had you had to close your eyes, and I believe he said before that, though, I think you had to hold your hand. And he went through a whole lot of stuff. And as he went through each one, folks were being counted out. Then finally, he said, if you're still there, and he said, I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to stand. And then I stood. So now open your eyes. When I opened my eyes, there were only a few people out of all those hundreds of people standing. He said, now I want you to come down here to the platform. And I'm standing there like this. And I got ready, and then Jolene was standing next, sitting next to me. She said, what you doing? Put your hand down. And I kind of looked at her, and I sat down. She said, put your hand down. And I was like, now put my hand down. And all those folks got up on the stage, and this is the truth, I'm going to tell you. There were, every seat was filled except for one seat. There were 20 seats on that stage, and that 20th seat was my seat. But my friends, I had been hypnotized. But he told us that normally the persons that are the easiest to hypnotize are those who have the most intellect. I'm just telling what the man said. And so what happened was I was hypnotized, but there was somebody that said something to me to snap. I'm going somewhere. To snap me out of this hypnosis. There was somebody that snapped me out of that which had control of me. My dear friends, if you and I are sitting here this morning, and myself, and we're hypnotized, there's somebody that wants to free us from our hypnosis. There's somebody that wants to free us from that which is controlling us. But when a person is hypnotized, number one, there's an enemy that is used to hypnotize them. There's an enemy that uses someone or something to put us under a spell. And the first thing we see is the person that was used here in verse 9. The Bible says there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city, that same city that God was moving in, that Philip was helping people get healed in, the Bible says this man was using sorcery. That word sorcery means to practice magic. Sometimes we think, well, what's wrong with magic? You better watch out. The enemy knows how to use that kind of stuff. I've got some personal friends of mine who at one time they started messing around with them Ouija boards. And then the Ouija boards led them to going out to the cemeteries and trying to find ghosts and all this kind of stuff. You want to find them? You're fine. But you know what they are, don't you? Demons, my dear friends. They're fallen spirits, fallen angels. And the enemy will use them to entice us. And so I said, well, they're not hurting nobody. They're just telling me, listen, hold on. If you want to get somebody, you don't have to come out and say, hey, I'm here to hurt you. No, you're going to use, I'm here to help you first. It's very simple. It's nothing major, nothing. It's a little simple little stuff. But then before you know it, my dear friends, you'll start seeing objects moving around. I said, no, I don't believe in that. Okay. Everybody getting scared now. What I'm trying to tell you, my dear friends, that there are demons. The Bible speaks of them. And even today, my friends, we know of demons which are fallen angels. Remember when Satan got kicked out of heaven? The Bible says he took a third of the angels with him. Right. That's what the Bible says. Now what's the third? Well, the Bible says that the angels are innumerable. Can't even count them. And most of the time, you're not being attacked by the devil. What happened, my dear friends, is one of his demons, my friends, are the ones who are aggravating and agitating you. But even when you use someone or somebody to draw us into that trap. In this case, he's using a man by the name of Simon. Simon uses sorcery or practices magic. And the Bible says, and bewitched the people. Once again, that word bewitched means to astound, to put out of wits, be insane, be beside self. The Bible says the people of Samaria, given out for himself with some great one. They thought he was awesome. He was a great person. Wow. Matter of fact, they went so far like this. Watch this. Does it sound familiar? To whom they also gave heed, they pay attention to, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Because of his influence, because of his bewitching, because of the powers that seemed that he had, my friends, they thought that he was of God. And we are folks today, just because somebody walks up to you who don't even know you, say, you're Steve Moody Jr. You're like, who's this? I don't know him. Man, how do you know my name? That must be of God. Why? The devil knows your name too. Yeah, but he walked up to me and said, I know what you did on last Tuesday. And then starts telling you. But that must be God. The devil knows what you did last Tuesday too. Listen, my friends, just because he can tell you your social security number, just because he can tell you your birthday, doesn't mean it's God, my dear friends. The devil knows the day that you was born. He's been here before you got here. He knows what you did yesterday. But he'll use these things, my friends, to bewilder you, but also to make you think it is of God. These folks, this is what it says. The Bible says, my friends, they said this man is the great power, miraculous power of God. And the Bible says, and to him they had regard or they paid attention. They listened to him. Sometimes we'll get our little horoscopes out. I was asked to do that too. I'm a Virgo slash Leo. I'm sorry, let me reverse that. Leo slash Virgo. Let me see what my horoscope says today. You get to reading it. You're gonna find something. You'll be twisting it and putting it. And saying, yeah, that's what it said. You'll make it fit. But you know what? We get to depend on that horoscope more than we depend on God's word. There's some folks, my dear, not here. But there's some folks, my dear friends. I mean, they won't even miss one day of their horoscope. But they'll miss several days of God's word.
That's right. Preach it.
Yeah. I'm helping somebody. Listen, my dear friends, we should spend more time in the word than we need to spend time in the sun times checking out my horoscope. Yeah. Y'all need to break that word down. Horoscope. Say it again. She's breaking it down. Amen. Listen, my dear friends. Things being used to bring you in. Amen. The Bible says that these folks, my dear friends, they pay attention to him for how long? The Bible says for a long time. He had bewitched them with sorcery, with magic. When we see stuff that we can't explain, we're like, man, that must be the Lord. What's that guy's name that caused the buildings to disappear and stuff? What's his Angel? Chris Angel. So I said, yeah. He must be of God. I mean, that stuff was gone. I mean, it was like this. But there is something called an illusion. And he'll begin to show you some of that stuff too. By the way, if it is being real stuff, if I was you, I'd be like Michael Jackson. I would be getting away from that, amen. I'm doing the moonwalk, amen. Listen, my dear friends. Hey, number one, what's the purpose? What's the reason? The enemy wants your mind. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants to hinder you. My friends, he wants to affect you in a way that's not good, but that is bad. The Bible says this man had their control for a long time. I wonder how many of us have been under spell for a long time. Whether it be pornography, whether it be drugs, whether it be gambling, or whether it be sex, whether it be you name it, my dear friends, but it has such a hold of our mind. I mean, it's like you can't, it's like you try to fight it, but then it's like you're either thinking about it, and then the pleasure that's in there for a season, because if there was no pleasure whatsoever, there'd be nobody that would be doing it at all. There's got to be some type of pleasure, there's got to be a small amount, my friends, or it would not entice you. It would not draw you. So I don't know about that preacher. I tell you what, go fishing. And you take a hook and throw it out there. And see how many fish come to your hook. You know how many come to your hook? None. You need some bait on that joker. You need something, my dear friends, that appeals to that particular type of fish that you're fishing for. And you put that on the hook, and then you put that in the water, and you sit there and you just wait.
Yeah.
You don't sit down for just a minute and go, well, ain't nothing in here. No, you throw it out there, and then you wait. That's what the enemy does. He throws out the bait,
that's right.
And then he waits. And it's just sitting there dangling. And then them fish, they come by, and they look at it.
Yeah.
They be like, Uncle Bob went up there one time, didn't come back. I don't know if I need to, but I'm hungry. What I do is I just nibble that. I just nibble that. That's all I'm going to do. But you know what happens? I start getting good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get to nibble a little bit long. And before you know it, he grab a hold of that hook, and then, whoop, there it is. And all of a sudden, my friend has got him. He's wiggling. He's trying to get off that joker. But it's fight. It's a fight going on. A fight going on. And guess what? He can't get off.
Nope, right.
Until somebody pulls him off.
That's right.
And what happens, my dear friends, once we have been hooked by the enemy, he is reeling us in. And all of us are trying to fight to get off. But we need somebody, my friends, that's bigger than us to come back and rescue us from that hook.
Yeah.
We need somebody else. That's the good part coming up. The enemy uses somebody to bewitch us. And God will use somebody to help break the spell. The Bible says in the next verse, but when they believed Philip. Here's Simon! And now here comes Philip. The Bible said they believed Philip. What did they believe? The Bible says Philip was doing something called preaching. That word preaching means announcing good news. Preaching should not be bad news. It should be good news. And if there's some bad news involved in it, at the end you should have some good news to give us something to rejoice about, or know that there's freedom to be had. The Bible says, my dear friends, that he was preaching. They believed his preaching. They trusted his preaching. What was he preaching? The things concerning the kingdom of God. He was preaching about what's going to take place, what's going to happen. He was talking about, my friends, the kingdom that will take place. He talked about Jesus Christ, but not only the kingdom of God, but also, which is the next part of verse 8, the Bible says also this, and the name of Jesus Christ. He preached about the kingdom of God, and he preached about the name of Jesus Christ. That word name means authority. He talked about the authority that Jesus Christ possessed. And the Bible says, as he preached, the Bible says here, that they believed the preaching about the kingdom, and they believed the preaching about the authority or the power in Jesus Christ. That's where we're missing it. We believe that Jesus exists, but what about the power? Do we believe in his authority to cast out demons? Do we believe in his authority to break spells, to break yokes? Do we believe in that type of authority that Jesus Christ has? The Bible says you have not because you what?
Ask
not. But the Bible also says that whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If we believe, my dear friends, that God is able to break the spell, my friends, the spell will be broken.
Amen.
But sometimes we say, well, this is just too hard. This is just too difficult. This, I can't get free from this. I've tried. What'd you say? I've tried. What'd you say again?
I've
tried. We need to stop trying.
Amen.
This ain't going to work. It's not going to work. But my friends, when you and I start trusting that Jesus Christ has the ability and the power to free us, hey, freedom is just around the corner.
Amen.
Man, when that alcohol had a hold of me, and I was tired of that drinking, you know, I started praying. I said, God, take away this desire. Take away the taste for it. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. I've heard me say this many a time, but I don't forget that one day. I believe it was on a Sunday. I believe it was. I'm sitting there in the chair, and Jolene came walking by, and she happened to kick over that half can of beer, and it went all over the floor, and she said, "I'm so sick and tired of you leaving half cans of beer laying around the house." I said, "I don't know where it is. I can't drink a whole one like I used to. I'm buying a six-pack, and instead of staying around for 5 minutes, it's now staying around for 5 days." And then it dawned on me. God was answering my prayer. I wasn't in church at the time or any of that stuff. But I said, "God's answering my prayer. He's taking away that desire." And the next thing I said was, "You know what? I need to start going to church. I need to start going to church." And I was stopping right there. You know the rest of the story. God changed everything else. We started going to church, and that was it. But what happened was I began to pray. I said, "God, take away that desire. Take away. I can't do it. And these folks, my friends, they could not break that bewitchment. They could not break that spell. But my friends, when that Philip came by, he had to preach that word. They believed what he was saying was true. And the Bible says that when they believed, my friends, that after what the Bible says, they were baptized, both men and women. Baptism comes after salvation. They were born again because they believed the preaching that they were being exposed to. I wonder how many of us believe the word. The word of God will free us. The truth will free us. Spells can be broken. Hypnosis can be snatched away, my friends, but it comes by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But we've got to believe in that authority. Believe that God has more authority than Satan has. He has more authority than crack. He has more authority than cocaine. More authority than meth. More authority, my friends, than heroin. More authority than gambling. More authority than pornography. More authority. Believe it. And then be free by the power that Jesus possesses. He wants to free people. But they got to believe. And he ain't going to make nobody. He ain't going to force somebody. You got to want to. So it don't matter how bad or how much I tell Stevie, you need to do right, man. Until Stevie decides that he wants to do right, he ain't going to do right. He ain't. I don't care how much I say, but your mama. Look at your poor mama, boy. Look at your mama. She like, you love me. He be like, I love her too. But that ain't changed the fact that I don't want to. Well, you want to. You ready to. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. But you got to. You got to. Oh, now you can stop for somebody for a little while. He can stop for a little while. But then all of a sudden, my dear friends, because remember, the enemy still got that bait sitting out there. And he just waiting for you to come on by. He's very patient. Very patient. You know, you say, "Well, I'm getting away from that spot. You can move over that spot." And he'd be like, "Well, ain't nothing catching over here." He don't follow you around. See, I think they biting over there. He don't follow. So it don't matter. You may say, "Well, I'm gonna move." Listen, when I was in Chicago living on the West Side, I said, "You know what? I'm tired of all this stuff up here. I'm moving. I'm moving down south. That's where I'm going. Get away from all these drugs and stuff." So I moved to Tennessee. Hello. Yeah. They were doing more drugs in Chattanooga than they were in Chicago. I'm like, "Wait a minute." I thought, because you know, I grew up up here. So I mean, you know, you go down south, you know, down south. You know, they just all, "Hey, how you doing?" Everybody's smiling and happy. Hey, they're doing drugs too down south. I'm like, my goodness. Matter of fact, I don't care how to hear everything. But the place I was staying in, my friends, the son of the lady that was there was selling drugs. So I literally moved into the house with a drug dealer. That's a bad place to be in the house. You try and leave drugs, and you move in the house, and they're a drug dealer. We're riding around. He drives a nice car and stuff. He ain't got no job. He started talking about the back of his car. Got pistols and all kinds of stuff. So now I left there, and I went down to Georgia. Well, go further south. Get down there, and I moved in with some of my relatives. Good night. They were doing cocaine and drugs and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, my soul. We got kicked out of that place because the person, my cousin, we give him money to pay the rent and pay the bills. Instead of paying the bills, he's paying for a cocaine habit. I still feel like whooping him today. But You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, my friend, like, I don't care how far you run, but only God brings deliverance. He can bring you deliverance in the same state you're living in. He can. We figure I'm gonna leave this job and go to this new job. It's all clean slate. They waiting on you over there. You got cussing habits? You addicted to cussing? Preacher, I wish I could stop cussing, but it's just so hard. I mean, because, you know, I'm kids, I got the house, and they won't act up. And like me, the only time they get attention when I start cussing. If I said, y'all please stop, they'd be like, you please stop. I mean, but then I say, listen, I'm going to blank, somebody blank, hands on, blank, wall. And everybody start going. The enemy make you think that, my friends. All it is, they know your level. They do. They know your stress level. And they, what they do is, that's the line right there. They get close to that line, make it there. Yeah. Then they go. They step a little bit. And see what you're going to do. But I think what you move that joker further. In other words, you say, hey, get in that clean room up. They be like, yeah. Then you say this. If I don't clean your room up, I'm coming with my belt. You come with that belt, you get to sling that joker. They're like, whoa, boy, you're going crazy. We're running. I told you I was clean. Wait a minute. You had at least seven more times. You're stopping at three. But you know what happened next time, don't you? You just get clean room. You'll be like, what's the number? The first. Okay. Let me get going, hey, man. Because they know where your level's at. What are you saying, preacher? Whatever the situation is. Whatever has you hypnotized, whatever has you under its spell, whatever it is, my dear friends, God knows how to break it. But you've got to believe Him. You've got to believe Him. See, preacher, I'm having a hard time believing. Do what the Father said. He said, Jesus said, thou believest. He said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Help me when I'm struggling to believe that. In other words, it's called honesty. If you're struggling to believe, be honest with Him. Say, God, I really want to believe You. But I know You exist and all that, but I'm struggling to believe that You will bring deliverance. Help me to believe. Help me. And you start praying that way. And God will help you to believe. Just be honest with Him. Let's stop playing the game. Let's stop using the words, you know what to say. And just be truthful. If you don't feel like stopping, say, God, I'm just honest. I don't feel like stopping. And if I'm going to stop, you're going to have to give me that desire to even want to ask You to stop. You've got to give it to God. I really don't want to ask You that, to be honest with you. Be honest. Stop playing around. Be honest. When you start getting honest with God, remember the Bible says the truth in John chapter 8, the truth will make you free. Let's start telling the truth when we pray. This is what happened. We're done. This is what the Bible says right here. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. They were rescued. They were delivered. Now, we're not going through this part of the story. That's another message. But Simon himself, the Bible says, believed and was baptized. But we believe that was a false profession because of things that said later on. But there's a true profession, and that's what just took place with these people. They believed, and guess what? The spell was broken. I got three questions. We're done. The first question is this one. What or who has you under a spell? What is it that has you under a spell? What is it that has captivated your mind that you're having a hard time breaking free from? It may be a person. It may be some people. It may be a situation. It may be whatever. I don't know what it is, but what is it that has a captive, a hold of your mind, has you under its spell? Secondly, how long have you been under this spell? How long have you been under this spell? Then thirdly, how bad do you want to be delivered? How bad? Some of us, I go so far, but how bad do you really want to be delivered? If you really want to be delivered, you'll go all the way, not half the way. If it means taking a shot, you don't like them, but you know it's going to help you, say, okay, I'll take a shot. I hate a shot, but I'm going to take it, though, because it's going to help me. How bad do you want to be delivered? And the last one's a statement. You must believe in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Believe in His authority and His power. And He will break the spell. Father, thank You for Your many wonderful blessings. And Father, I don't know who here, I know the things I've battled with, but I don't know who here is battling with some other things. I probably didn't even mention some of them. But Father, You know and they know what they are. But I pray and ask God that this morning,
We'll come before your holy throne and say, please, Master, break the spell. Break the spell. I'm hypnotized. I'm under this influence, and I can't break free. I have tried. I've tried this and I've tried that, but it seems like I just can't. Well, that person has a hold of me. When I see them, I can't help but go in that direction, but break me free of that, because it's only causing more devastation in my life. Or perhaps it's a number thing. I don't know, Lord. But God, whatever it is, it might be unforgiveness that has them under its control. Oh, God, I pray they come and ask you to help them to forgive that person that wounded them, that person that hurt them. That it was real. It's a real hurt. It was a real pain. But, God, they need to be able to forgive. I pray, God, they come. Maybe someone's under the spell, the hypnosis of anger, Father. They're always angry. They're always mad, but God, help them. Oh, God, to break that spell. I don't know what it is, but I pray, God, we come. We're coming because you are speaking. We're coming, God, because you're drawing us, and we want to be delivered. Break the spell. For it's in your Son's name we ask, Father, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.